And good afternoon to my guest, Tina. Hi, Tina.
Hello, Mark.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's good. Now, you just told me you're off off on another of your world journeys very soon, but we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes' time anyway. We're talking truffles this afternoon, and I guess one of the things that is a bit strange is how we can call mushrooms, because they are a kind of mushroom, I think, truffles, and yet we can also call chocolates by the same name. How is that?
It's a visual likeness.
There is a likeness.
We've got a dark, dense mass in most of the time.
That's how it is. Right, okay.
I think so. I actually don't know, but obviously they taste very, very different, but I guess that's where it comes from.
It's one of the crazinesses of the English language, I guess.
Well, it was the same in French, and so it would be the same word in other languages.
Oh, really? Yes, oh, right, yes, okay. Yeah. Okay, so describe what a truffle is like, if you can.
Well, most of them are the black variety, although I'm sure we're going to talk about the white ones because they are the very rarest and the best. But white truffles are, depending on how much they've had time to grow and mature when you find them, they can be anything from sort of a strawberry size one to a tennis ball or even larger. You know, every year you would hear somewhere it would be reported, such and such found a 2-point kilo or whatever. But that's very, very, very rare.
And somebody who wasn't familiar with what a truffle looks like, could they mistake it for a regular mushroom, do you think?
Well, you probably wouldn't find them in the first place because they're subterranean.
Always?
Always.
Oh, right, okay.
But you would smell it, or your dog might.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Yes. But they look like they're black
and sort of knobbly, and really rather unattractive. You'd probably mistake it perhaps for a piece of old rotting wood, although they are round. But you can imagine it's something that just sits underground, never gets any sunlight. But they are spherical, but they can be knobbly more or less. So, you know, they're not necessarily smooth and they have a sort of riveted, unregular surface. So you brush them down. Otherwise, a little, almost like a beehive, you know, but not that regular. But there's little indentations and you would have a bit of dust or earth sitting in that maybe. So you just brush them down. But they're hard, but not dense and heavy. So think almost eating, say, chestnuts, you know, that sort of texture,
right? Yes. Okay. Makes you wonder how on earth anybody ever started eating them if they're as unattractive as that.
No, it's interesting, but I think the scent, you know, it was found by wild animals and there are records going very, very far back, but I think really they started to become a sort of food of the noble tables in the early Middle Ages.
Yes, because the thing about truffles, the little that I do know about them is that they're very, very expensive. Was that, as it were, why they became popular with the gentry, I guess?
Well, they're rare and a bit like, say, saffron. For saffron, you need an enormous amount of the saffron crocus to produce just a little gram of saffron. So, of course, the price went up because it was laborious and difficult to produce. With the truffles, they're another commodity which is very difficult to come by. People have found ways to cultivate it or encourage them to grow now. But, you know, it's not something you could buy, say, a seed bag of and go and grow. So it's supply and demand as ever.
Because it's a fungus, isn't it? So,
yes.
I'm not big on gardening, but I would imagine that you can't, as you say, cultivate a fungus. It either happens or it doesn't.
Yeah, you can encourage it by growing certain things that they like, and you know, you can try and spread spores and hope that it will retake. But it's certainly not something that you can just think, oh, I'll buy this little seedling and then it will be there next year.
Okay, so you mentioned a bit earlier on there about white truffles and black truffles. What's the difference then?
Well, the black truffles are, although I've just said they're rare, there's actually quite a lot of them, and we have black truffles in the UK as well, in the area just above us, Peterborough and up Northamptonshire, but we don't have the sense to appreciate them, I think, but they are there. They are actually quite common, and they grow all over the world in various spots, and certainly across Europe there's lots of them, and they are seasonal. So there are spring truffles, summer truffles, autumnal truffles, winter truffles. By and large, the colder the weather, the stronger their taste. But the white truffles are incredibly rare, and they grow in a very different way. They grow deeper, which means that they have to smell more to be found and therefore be able to procreate. And therefore, consequently, they taste better and they have an even higher value. And there are certain spots, including Alba in Italy and also including the area where we take our guests, where I'm going next week. And they will only be in season between sort of November to late January. There are species of truffle that needs frost usually, but they certainly do better in frosty weathers, and they seem to get more perfumed in frosty weather.
Okay, so you mentioned about all of them growing underground, but the white ones have a stronger aroma. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming, therefore, that they grow deeper underground, do they?
Or rather the other way around. So this is how it works. They are subterranean. They need to procreate. The only way they can do that is if their spores are spread like you know, a lot of other plants. So in order to call attention to themselves, they had to call out to animals somehow so that could get found, scratched, bothered, and so the spores would procreate. And in order to be found by wild fungivores, so, you know, wild pigs mainly, but also squirrels and so on, who would root for that sort of food, they obviously had to send out a scent signal. I'm here, dig a bit and you'll find some lovely food. And then for them, that would mean that there would be more of them next year. And the black ones usually grow from just under the surface, almost to the point where you can see a little bulge sometimes, but normally about anything from a few centimetres to say 10, 15, 20 centimetres above ground. And so they don't need to be that perfumed to be picked up by a sensitive nose. So pigs like them, and dogs can be trained to find them. The white ones grow much deeper. They can grow 30 centimetres below ground. And so consequently, in order to be found, they have to send out a really strong scent message to those fungivores to say, come on, dig around here, come and find me. And then they will have secured their future.
Now, you've written an article for the Cambridge News, as you do indeed do every month, and this time it is about truffles. You mentioned in there about, and indeed you've just mentioned a couple of seconds ago there, about pigs being the animal that was often used to find truffles. But there was a few problems with using pigs, wasn't there?
Yeah, there were. So the pigs are incredibly sensitive to this particular scent, because it's actually what truffles smell, and I'm sure we're talking about that in a minute, it's a form of a male pheromone. So it's a sex hormone, if you like, and male pigs particularly emit this. So sows would react particularly beneficially to this particular scent. But of course, they like them a lot. So not only would they be very violent when they are digging them up, if you like, using their snouts, they would often then ruin the fine threads that connect the truffles to the tree and again secure its return, you know, the next season. But also they would obviously ideally like to eat them. So as a handler, I suspect they probably got a bit of a rap, poor things, with a stick, I should think, so that you would need to force them not to eat the truffle once found. But pigs have fairly vicious teeth, so that probably wasn't always easy. So it was actually, it's illegal in Italy to use pigs now for the reason that they would just destroy the truffles. And from, I think it was 1986, it was made illegal, and you are now only allowed to use dogs.
Right.
And the dogs, bless them, can be trained so well with their amazing noses and their intelligence to just gently scratch when they smell it, remove it from the earth, and they will carry it between their little lips. They'll go up to the handler and just drop it into his or her hand, or straight into a pocket maybe, in which usually there's a little dog treat. So I always think, so the handler gets maybe 70, 80 pounds or euros worth of truffle, and the dog gets a little dog biscuit. Doesn't seem fair somehow, but I think they all think they benefit from the trade.
Well, interesting that the pheromones don't have the same, or maybe they do, but the dogs perhaps can ignore it, don't have the
same
effect.
Well, they smell it. Yeah, yes. Oh, no, absolutely. It's just that they can be trained to, when you smell that and you find it, what you get is another treat, whether it's a sausage or a dog biscuit, you know.
Now, I mentioned earlier on there, as I say, I'm not terribly familiar with truffles, but they are they related to the mushroom family?
Yes, they are fungus, yes.
Right, okay.
Or so fungi, yeah.
Now, I think we're all familiar with the fact that if you go foraging out in the woods for mushrooms, you've got to be ever so careful, because obviously there are types that are poisonous. Mm-hmm. Is that true of truffles?
No.
No? They're all edible,
yes.
No problem at all with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's excellent.
To say the least.
I can see you're a fan. Yes. Which are the best types then?
So the white truffles are, you know, they are the
purely because they
crown.
Have a stronger
yes.
aroma and
yes.
so on. Right, okay.
Yes.
And how you've mentioned several times about them needing to be close to trees and the spores having to be passed on. How does all that work? Is it?
Well, all fungi live in symbiosis with a host tree, if you like. They need the tree to live, so it's a symbiotic relationship. And so you will have thin threads connecting them to the tree underground.
And are they feeding off the tree? Is that
yeah,
why they have
absolutely.
That? Oh, I see.
They need it, but the tree also of benefits from it. And so, you know, you get some mushrooms that actually grow on the tree, you know, on the branches, don't they? And you get those that grow immediately under a tree if they're the normal type that actually sprout and appear above earth. And then you have the subterranean ones that will remain underneath. And the black ones, if you know what you're looking for, they are they often send out a visual hint as well that they're there, because by being under a tree, they actually often cause the growth around the trunk to die back. So it can look like it's a bald patch underneath the tree. So if you know what you're looking for and you're out truffle hunting and you see that, it's a good chance that there would be black truffles underneath. The white ones, not only are they much deeper, but they can send out their threads, if you like, for up to 30, 40 metres. So there's no way of guessing where the host tree is and therefore where you might find the mushrooms. So they're much trickier. You need a good dog.
Now, you mentioned also earlier on about the fact that they're a bit like Marmite insofar as you very much definitely either love it or hate it.
Yes.
Can you describe in any way what the smell or the taste of it is?
I think you can categorically say, if listeners say, I like miso soup and I like Marmite, they are umami flavours. It's a fifth flavour that we can detect in our mouth. They will like truffles. If you don't, if you struggle with those earthy, yeasty, fermented flavours or smells, you won't like truffles. And I don't think you will ever try truffles and say, it's all right. You will either say, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever eaten, please give me some more. Or you will just think, no thanks, not for me. Don't like it.
Now, I was reading your article, and you said earlier on there that you're off, is it next week, to Italy? With
yes.
I assume with a group of people.
Yeah.
Aphrodisiac.
Yes.
Now, you made some interesting comments in your article in the Cambridge News about that. Tell us more.
Well, it has been called an aphrodisiac, as have oysters, as you know, and asparagus. I think asparagus, to be honest, is probably more visual and how you might eat them. So that is more sort of fabricated, shall we say. But both oysters and truffles do contain elements which... including the pheromones, which are known to make your heartbeat go up. You feel happier. It's like an endorphin type of rush. So you feel more alive, you feel more energetic, and you might, you know, turn your thoughts to love as well.
So I assume that most of the people going on your trip are couples, then?
Actually, no.
Oh,
and
dear.
I haven't revealed to one of our guests this time that he is actually the only male on this trip. So I'm looking forward to the effect of that.
The only male with a whole load of females.
Yes.
Well,
it must be good for him, I think.
You must come back and tell us how it all went.
But I also know that one of our female travellers is 87.
Oh, right. That would put a damper on it, wouldn't it?
Well, who knows?
So what would you serve them with anyway?
Yes, they are. Obviously, you don't want to waste them. They can go a long way. They have a fantastic natural affinity with fat, and that doesn't sound very nice, but say things to do with egg yolks, butter, pasta with a lot of butter. So when we're out in Italy, we eat regional pasta, which is made with egg and breadcrumbs rather than egg and flour. So it makes quite a firm truffle, more like a gnocchi, if you like. And they're called passatelli. And they are served with lashings of melted butter, lashings of grated parmesan, and then freshly grated truffle on top. That's it. And it is simply sensational. But you could grate it onto an omelette. It goes really, really well just on a very runny egg, on a scramble, so a really luxurious autumn scramble in the morning. You could have a few shavings of your truffles on top of that.
So that's the way you work it, is it? You don't put a whole truffle on it, you just take shavings of it.
Yes, and again, the black ones, literally, I would say, the less the quality, the better it is to actually heat and cook with. So you might want to chop it, and you
right,
might
yes.
subject it to a bit of butter in the pan.
A bit like using a cheap wine.
But the really good ones, and particularly the white ones, lend themselves to being grated raw straight onto the hot food. And as it hits the hot food, the aromas are released and you get that amazing waft from your plate. And you don't need a lot to do that. So adding them to something eggy, melted, buttery is the best way to go about it.
And you mentioned also earlier on there about saffron, comparing it in terms of price and whatever, but also saffron often used to perfume other foods.
Yeah, absolutely. So in Italy, it's you make a velouté sauce, so a white sauce made with a stock rather than cream or milk. Infuse that with a bit of it; it's delicious. And then perhaps put it under the grill, so it's like a very posh cheese sandwich, if you like. Honey is infused infused with it. So you can pâtés, you can imagine even charcuteries like salamis can be infused with it. But it's something that is rich in oily fat that it goes best with.
Right. And what about storage?
Yes, if you buy a fresh truffle, and I would like to say here that actually I think it's exaggerated their price, because if you buy one truffle, certainly if you go directly to the core where we are in Italy, buying it on the street markets rather than from, say, Harrods food halls, you're not paying the middleman, you probably get quite a nicely sized truffle for about £15, and that would be grated onto dishes for maybe 6 or 8 people. So I really don't think it isn't actually that expensive. You know, you could add it and make an incredibly luxurious dish and it's cost you £2.
And what sort of lifespan if you had it in
the
fridge?
Yes, if you travel home with a fresh one, wrap it in a bit of damp kitchen paper and keep it dark in your fridge. And you could keep it in your sort of vegetable drawer, but make sure it's sealed up in a plastic bag, because everything will be infused. If you don't want it to be, then make sure it's sealed, and then it could survive in your fridge for perhaps up to a week. I would say 4 to 5 days is probably ideal. If you want to, of course, you could let it infuse. You could drop it into a jar of risotto rice and let it infuse your risotto rice.
Ah, yes.
But again, keep it cold, otherwise it starts to mould. Or simply freeze it.
Oh, so you can freeze it. Oh, right.
You freeze it and then take it out and you can grate it straight on from frozen onto your food. So that is a really, really good way to store it over a long period of time. So I think if you're lucky enough to come across an opportunity to buy at a good price, buy more than you think you need and you can eat, because you can store it that way.
So finally, then you are, as you were saying earlier on, they're off to Italy next week to a place called Aquilania, is that right?
Yes, so that's near Urbino, so it's in the region of Le Marche, which is on the Adriatic coast.
And why are you going there?
We're going there because it's a centre for the white truffles. As I said, that actually really only exists in about 3 regions in the world. And this area in Umbria and Le Marche is one of the rare places where we can find the white truffles. So this is a small town that celebrates truffles every year, Aquilania. There's nothing there at all 50 weeks of the year. And for 2 weeks of the year, it's just heaving with Italian visitors. No foreigners, it seems to me, which is wonderful. Dogs, families, children, people trading, sniffing, eating, sampling, talking truffles.
So a festival, and what would they have? Lots of stalls selling
stalls
them?
Stalls out in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Demonstrations by some of the top chefs in Italy. So we always include that for our guests. We go in and have a cookery demonstrations and a tasting where each chef has decided to use truffles in his or her particular way, and there's a wine tasting with that as well. And then you buy and you eat outdoors, as the weather is usually remarkably wonderful even in November there, so you can eat in the market square and have a fresh bowl of handmade pasta cooked outdoors with lots of grated fresh truffles.
It just sounds wonderful.
It is wonderful.
You're off on another trip to Italy. I'm so jealous.
You can come next time.
Maybe. Okay, well, listen, thanks ever so much for coming, and do have a great time next week, and we'll see you in about a month's time.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. That's Tina Roach from the Cambridge Cookery School, back with us at the beginning of, I guess, December. And it'll be only a week or two before we get into Christmas.